God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the chance to just dive into your word. And God, we thank you that everything in there is true. And Lord God, that your word does not return void. And so this morning, we say, God, just change our lives through your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I preached like 2 weeks ago, and we talked on prayer. And to give you a recap, we talked about how God's word is powerful. And when you don't know how to pray, just pray God's word. Okay, so like if you're like, I don't even know what to pray, find a Bible verse and pray it. And so on Wednesday night, we did a sermon because we're doing a series on prayer at youth group. And so if your youth aren't there, get them there. But we did a sermon, why prayers aren't sometimes answered. And so we told the youth it's not a magic formula or this algorithm that you do this, not a Rubik's Cube, okay? But sometimes it's a difficult topic because anytime you pray on faith or prayer or anything about that, there's always people that, like, have lost someone. Or there's people that have someone that's going through something. So sometimes when you preach on this topic, it can sometimes be like this tough pill to swallow, you know? And so it becomes this difficulty where it's not only trusting that God's word is true, but saying that it can also work for me. And so this morning, as I was preparing for my sermon, I just felt like God was like, you know, just tell your story. In my Bible class, we always say the one thing nobody can ever argue with you is your personal experience with God. And so when God does something in your life, no matter what anyone ever says, they will never convince you that God didn't do that because you know it to be true. You experienced it for yourself. And so this morning, I just want to tell you my story. And so before we do, let's look at what God's word says first, though. And in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing God's word. And I want to tell you this morning that you cannot grow your faith beyond what you know. You cannot grow your faith beyond what you know because faith comes by hearing God's word. And if you are not in God's word, you can't expect your faith to be bigger than what you know. And so Hosea 4:6 says this, my people, I want to say my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not talking about people that have rejected God. It's talking about his people. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want to tell you that one of the attacks of the enemy is if he can get the church to not know what God's word says, then all of a sudden the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they don't know who they are in God. It's good preaching. In Hebrews 10:38, it says this, now the just shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. See, if faith comes by hearing God's word, and we are supposed to live by faith, then being in God's word has to be a lifestyle. Some of you guys didn't get that. Hold on. If faith comes by hearing God's word, and we were supposed to live by faith, then therefore being in God's word has to be a lifestyle. It has to be. So, you know, I moved to Arizona. I've been here about 6 months. And as soon as I got here, my car insurance doubled. Now, it took me about a week to figure out why. Okay? Not you guys. You guys are great drivers. But everybody else in Arizona is terrible drivers. I mean terrible. So, you know, my wife always gets on my case because I drive like an old man. I have a Jeep Wrangler. I have the top down. The sun is out. We're in Arizona. Hallelujah. And I just enjoy the day. Now, my wife apparently is training to be a Formula One driver. I'm just enjoying the day. And so if you ever notice, like, my whole life, you ever notice that handle that's in the car that's above the passenger seat? And I've always wondered, like, what is that handle there for? Figured it out when we moved to Arizona. See, if I get pulled over, like, I'm sorry, officer, I was just enjoying my day. I get a ticket. You know, I get a ticket. I accept that. My wife will get pulled over and be like, can you believe that I got pulled over? Yeah, that's really believable. Have you seen you drive? And so this handle in the car, I figured it out. It's an old crap handle. Because as we're zipping through traffic, it's that last thing you grab for. You know, sometimes when we pray, this is how we treat God. We treat God and God's word like it's an old crap handle. When we get to that moment where life is so stressful. See, for you, work is so stressful, you can't wait to get home. I just can't wait to get out of the car. Now, but the thing is, we treat God this way. We go to God in our last-ditch effort, Jesus! We treat him like an old crap handle because that's the last thing that you reach for. See, there's a difference between finding a Bible verse to stand on when you pray and knowing what God's word says. There's a difference. See, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and they grasp for God in that last second desperation moment. See, being in God's word meant to be a lifestyle. You know, so in 2015, I hurt my back really bad. Like, when I say really bad, I mean it took me 45 minutes to get off the floor and on the couch, and then I realized I was stuck on the couch. Couldn't get up, couldn't stand up. My legs would not hold my weight. So I finally got into the chiropractor and got adjusted, and I was walking fine, but just something wasn't right. And so I said, hey, can I get an x-ray on my back? Something's not right. And he was like, well, you know, you're a youth pastor, and like it's $50 every time that you get an x-ray. And I was like, I don't care. Something's not right. I got to see what's in there. And so he x-rays my back, and clear as day, I'd broken my L5. And, you know, you're a youth pastor. You're the guy that has all the energy. You jump around on the stage, and all of a sudden, you have a broken back. And I thought, man, I finally have the job that I'm doing what I want to do. I love my job, and now all of a sudden, can I even do my job? So at the time, I was just... I was engaged to Pastor Crystal at the time. And so she comes over after work, and I tell her, and she's like, well, can we get surgery? Can we do this? Can we do that? And you know, I work really hard, but outside of work, I'm super lazy. I'm not going to be honest with you. Like, I'm super lazy. And so I'm just like, getting surgery and, like, finding the money to pay for that, I'm like, this seems like a lot of work. And I just told her, I told my wife, my fiance at the time, I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to believe God for healing. It's so much easier than doing all of that. And this is what I love about my wife, because she's like, okay, yes. So then I go to church, you know, I work at a church. So I'm at church, and people want to pray for you. And I'm like, you know, hold on a second. I said, just wait. I don't want you to pray for me just yet. Because I said, my faith is not where it needs to be to receive my healing. So I said, don't pray for me yet. I said, I'll have you pray for me, but not yet. So what I did is I started getting into God's word and studying God's word only on the topic of healing. I mean, study every day studying it. So this is, I can't tell you everything that I studied in months of studying in one sermon, but I'm going to touch on a couple things real quick. Is that okay? In Colossians 2:14, it says this, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Point number one this morning, if you're taking notes, is this. The enemy has already been defeated. Oh, I know that, Pastor Isaac. No. The enemy has already been defeated. You might know that with your head, but with everything in you, do you believe that the enemy has been defeated? Because we might know it with our mentally know it, but do you spiritually know it? The enemy has been defeated. And in Luke 10:18, it says this, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heaven. Now when he saw this was before the cross. So just so you know, the devil has made a habit of getting beat up by Jesus. And so I love it. But like, you think that like football players came up with the celebration where they spiked the football? No. God came up with this. The Bible verse literally says he took the devil and he spiked him out of heaven. And it goes on and it says, behold, I give who? You. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. All of the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Mm. See, I got my cousin Rob is like, he's a pastor in Flint, Michigan. If he's watching, hi, Rob. And he's like the dog whisperer. Like, I never seen anything like it in all my life. And so when we were in, I lived with my cousin Rob my junior and senior year because my parents lived in England and I moved to America. And so we get out of the car one day and there's this Rottweiler like full sprint running straight at us. So I jump up and I grab the basketball hoop and I pull my legs up and my friend dives through the car window. And Rob just stands there. Then he goes, no! It's like, and he grabs the Rottweiler by the collar and walks faster than the Rottweiler could walk and drags him down the street. All the way back to his house, kicks the gate open, throws him in and shuts the gate. I'm still hanging on the basketball hoop. I'm just making sure I hadn't gone to the bathroom already. A couple of years later, we're in Arizona for my grandpa's funeral, and we're up in Anthem, and we go hiking, and we cut through this neighborhood on our way home, and my cousin turns to me and says, Isaac, don't run. Now, I've learned to trust my cousin over the years. If he says don't run, you don't run. If he says get ready to fight, we get ready to fight. He says don't run. I say, okay. I turn around, and a pit bull is sprinting down this long driveway straight at us. There's another dog with it, but we were worried about the pit bull, okay? And my cousin does not move. And he does it again. No! Only this time he goes, get! The dog turned around and poof, back into its driveway. The Bible says that the enemy has been defeated and he has to obey you. We're going to be talking over the next couple of weeks in youth group about authority. We're coming up to that topic here soon. Again, get your kids there. I can't talk about authority. That's not what I came here to talk about this morning. But I do want to say this. In Acts chapter 19, we've been learning this in Bible class, that Paul is praying using the name of Jesus and healing people, and these religious people see it and like, oh, man. And they start using the name of Jesus like it's a magic power. In the name of Jesus. And it says this in verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? It goes on and it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. That's not what I'm preaching on today, but I just want to tell you this for a second. If you do not live by authority in the natural, you cannot expect to operate in authority in the spiritual. I'm telling you right now, if you are a youth in this room, if you do not respect your parents, you need to be careful. If you don't respect your teachers, you need to be very careful. Adults in the room, didn't ask if you liked the president. But when we say, not my president, you better be careful. When we march on the White House, you better be careful. I get phone calls all the time. Hey, joiners, we're going to flood the phone lines so that the White House can't use their phones. No, I don't want to do that. Gotta be careful. I didn't ask if you liked the president, but this is the thing. If we do not live under authority in the natural, you cannot expect to operate in authority in the spiritual. It says in Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. When you say, hey, government, we defy you. You are saying, hey, God, I defy you. And I want to tell you, be careful, because there's going to come a time in your life when you try to use authority, when you pray, and the enemy's going to say, well, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, and Pastor Isaac, I know, but who are you? You can't talk to me that way. You don't believe in authority. You don't believe in it. How dare you? How dare you speak to me with authority when you don't acknowledge authority in your own life? All right, nobody likes that, so we'll move on. Whew, all right, got like 7 minutes. Here we go. See, God gave us authority, but I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus has already done everything he's ever going to do for your healing. Jesus has already done everything he's going to do for your healing. We're not begging Jesus to heal us. He already did it. In fact, it says, you know, hold on, let me back up real quick. It says in, right here, Isaiah 53:5, it says this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus already healed you. We're not begging him to heal us. This is what I came here to tell you this morning. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says this, fight the good fight of faith. Now, have you ever thought about it like this? You ready? If the enemy's already been defeated, and we have authority over all of the power of the enemy, and Jesus has already paid the price for our healing or the things we're believing God for, what is there to fight over? I'm going to tell you. You ready? Faith comes by hearing God's word. And the just are to live by faith. The fight of faith is within us. That's where the fight of faith is. Even though the situation seems like it's something else, even though you feel something else, the fight of faith is saying that God's word is true. And even though I don't feel it, I'm going to live as though God's word is true, not live as though I feel as though I do. That is the fight of faith. It's in you. Luke 6:45 says this, a good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good, an evil man out of evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to tell you, if you truly believe with everything in you that the enemy has been defeated, then it will come out of your mouth. We told the youth on Wednesday, we'll pray and pray and pray, and then we'll undo our prayers by saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. When you truly know it, it'll come out of your mouth. And point number three is this, as we get ready to close, your voice will put your faith into motion. Your voice will put your faith into motion. You might come up. So, back to my story. I'm in God's word. And then we are scheduled to go on a trip to Guatemala. My wife loves missions, and so we are going to Guatemala. And there's a concern of a lot of the people we're going with that, but what if Isaac's back goes out in Guatemala? How are we ever going to get home? Because I couldn't get off the ground. And so we're at this orphanage in Guatemala, and we've got like those little like 8-foot rims, basketball hoops. Nothing says you're awesome like dunking on little kids. Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan. That's me. And so we're getting all into it, and you know, we're all the workers that came, we're all trying to like outdo each other on how we're gonna dunk the ball. And I take off. And I, like, slam the ball down. I have to tell you something. Up to this point, not one person had laid hands on me for prayer. Crystal's brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, he's, like, the protector of the family. And when I land really hard. And he's like, Isaac, be careful, you're back. And I didn't think of a response. I wasn't thinking about what I was going to say. I said it before I even realized what I had said. And I said, Ken, don't worry about it. I'm already healed. And the second the words came out of my mouth, it was like someone slapped a hot pack right on my back. It was like icy hot, but it burned. And I knew what was going on because people told me before when they received their healing, it was like a burning sensation. But it wasn't what I expected because it was kind of like icy hot. And it was like, whoosh, and it was like my back started to burn. And I knew in that moment that on July 1st, 2015, Jesus didn't heal me. He healed me 2,000 years ago. But on July 1st, 2015, I received the healing. I put my faith in the motion by the words I said. And so we get home, and I go straight to the chiropractor, and I'm like, you got to x-ray me again. He's like, Isaac, your youth pastor is $50. I'm like, I don't care. X-ray me again. I believe that I received my healing. And he's a Christian chiropractor, so he's like, okay. He x-rays my back. And he cannot find the break. See, it's not about whether or not God's word is true. It's whether or not, can God's word work for you? And I'm telling you, it can. So the last 4 months, I've just been struggling with issues with my back. And the enemy is such a liar. And he tried to tell me, you know, you hear all the time people lose their healing. Your back is still broken. And so I've been studying and I'm not preaching on prayer at youth group because that's just where, you know, sometimes you preach what God's talking to you about, so that's what I'm doing. And I started studying. I said, no, I don't accept that. And so I went to the chiropractor, and they automatically x-ray him. And all week long, ooh, you should be worried. You should be worried. And I said, no, get out of my life. And I go to the chiropractor, and they show the x-rays the next week. No break in my back still. That's right. I want to say this real quick, and we're going to close. Mark 11:23 says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It doesn't say, pray and ask God to remove the mountain in your life. It says you speak to that mountain and tell it to get out. The verse talks three times more about what you say than it does about what you believe. You understand that when the apostles went from town to town, they never actually prayed for anybody. Sir, you know, can I have some money? Hey, silver and gold, I don't have any, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. They didn't have a prayer line. He just spoke it. And I want to tell you that your voice is where your faith gets put into motion. And I want to tell you this morning that God has already done all he's ever going to do. And we have to use the authority we've been given and release it in our lives. So I want to encourage you this morning. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet. I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever it is that you are going through in your life, Jesus has already paid for it. But God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want to encourage you to get into God's word, not to the point where you know it with your head, but that you know it with everything within you, that God's word is true. Because being in God's word is a lifestyle. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for this morning. We thank you that your word is true. Look, God, we thank you that your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Look, God, we thank you, God, that the enemy has no authority over our lives. Look, God, that we take authority over him. Look, God, I thank you that your word says that we can speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. And so this morning, God, we begin to lift up our voices when we say, no more will the enemy steal from me. No more will the enemy attack my life. But in the name of Jesus, mountains, we command you to go. Just so you know, where it says, if anyone asks anything in my name, the word ask in the Greek is strictly demand what is due. And we're not demanding God, but we're to speak to the mountain, and we demand what is due, and it is due to us because it's already been paid for. But I want to encourage you this week. It's time that we get excited about what God is doing. Not what you feel, not what's going on in the moment, but what God's word says. We're going to live by what God's word says, not by what I feel. So, Father God, we thank you. Lord God, I pray that the eyes of our understanding be open, that we would know the hope of your calling, Lord God, that our spiritual eyes would be open at Southgate Church. Lord God, that the enemy would steal from us no longer. And Lord God, that we would not be destroyed for lack of knowledge, because we know who we are and we know what is rightfully ours. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You guys have a great week.